welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And this is Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Peapod Mats, your ultimate solution for mess-free nights. And today's episode is also brought to you by Booby Juice. Booby Juice freeze-dries your very own breast milk into shelf-stable powder. And we will hear more from our sponsors later, but you can always head to our badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com on our sponsor page. You'll find all of our sponsors. If you ever need anything, see if you can give them your business because they make this podcast possible. And we have thoroughly vetted these companies for being cool.
For being cool, the coolest of the cool.
And we're also on Patreon. And until you're all over there, we're not going to stop telling you about it. So come on over and hang out with us in our monthly Zoom hangouts and we have a lot of extra content over there, ad-free episodes and mini podcasts and revolution parenting episodes and the works. And we're all getting to know each other pretty well. It's really nice. And we are also hosting our ongoing giveaway of people who leave reviews around the internet. On any podcast app, however you can leave a review, whether it's words or stars or whatever, send us a screenshot and we will send you a goodie bag of stickers and thank you for nursing in public cards. You can email that to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. And now Diane has our review of the week.
Yes. It says, I am 37 weeks pregnant with my first and discovered Diane and Abby a couple weeks ago. I have been listening to their podcast nonstop while cooking dinner and driving home from work. I've picked up so many tips and practices I want to make sure I implement when the baby is here. I know I don't have it all figured out right away. Baby and I will be learning new skills alongside each other each day, and I know I won't be alone because I'll continue to hang out with Diane and Abby throughout my nursing journey. Aww. And this was a couple weeks ago, so she might have had the baby. So if you had the baby and you're listening, congratulations. Let us know.
Please send us an email, badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to know if you had your baby or whenever you had your baby, let us know.
I know.
Shout out to your baby. That's what we should do. Anybody who has a baby, send us an email and we'll give you a shout out, your baby a shout out on the podcast.
Yeah, like if you just have your baby.
I mean you, obviously, because you're doing the work. The baby just sort of. But yeah, we could do that. That'd be fun.
That's awesome. So I hope everything is going amazingly well. And let us know. And I hope you're listening. And today we're going to talk about birth stuff.
I bet you planned that, didn't you?
I didn't, actually.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I'm
sorry. Usually
struck.
I do.
You
I
do,
know.
Yeah. I figured that you did, but you didn't.
Oh, my gosh. Well, because I didn't know what we were doing first.
Oh, that's true.
And I pulled that up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
It fit perfectly.
Yeah.
Well, I hope she had if she had the baby, I hope it was a good birth.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about birth. And birth interventions. We haven't talked about this in a little while. It's been a little while since we talked about birth interventions and how that impacts breastfeeding. Or does it? Dun, dun.
It doesn't. Goodbye. It's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing exciting here.
But I think that's what kind of what we think. We think like birth and then the baby's here and then breastfeeding.
And yeah, nobody connects
connected,
the two.
But like... It is very connected.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that can affect the way that you get started breastfeeding. And, you know, just I feel like we have to start all the episodes like this. Like, no hate on whatever type of intervention you've either chosen or went through or whatever. It's just information for you to have. If you're like... And like me, I'll be like, I talk about like, oh, I didn't have that moment with Jack. Like, oh my God, my baby's here. I looked at him and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot what all this crazy bullshit was about.
Yeah.
But I was also on like tons of, I had Stadol, that narcotic, and you know, Pitocin and the Cervidil to.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Induce labor. And like, I was not that. That's all going to affect your basic feelings. You know, you don't have access to your like innate like emotions at that point.
No,
I mean,
it definitely
did eventually. You know, the dick comes, it goes out, and then you get back to normal again. But like, that's just how it goes.
I know. I had like zero feeling about. I don't want to say I had zero feeling about Nathan when he was born, because that's not necessarily true. But it was just like I definitely didn't have that. Oh my gosh, you know, kind of feel.
Yeah.
We didn't get that. You know, we didn't have that golden hour of time and all of that stuff. It just didn't work. It just didn't happen. And we didn't connect like that. It took a long time for us to connect.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was. I don't remember, even in the hospital, I don't remember just holding him all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't.
Yeah. And a lot of people are scared. They're like, oh my God, I don't feel like connected to my baby. I don't feel like, you know, those feelings of euphoria or whatever that people talk about. And like, and you know, it'll come.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll come.
And that's with Exley, when I had a home birth and I had, you know, basically as, you know, as much of a kind of birth that I would personally want, you know, like for it to go the way I want it to go. It was just, I didn't have any of that medication in me. So I didn't have, it wasn't, even Josh is just like, I don't understand how like 1 second you're screaming your face off. Like, and you're just like in so much pain and you're screaming and then the baby comes out and you're smiling. Like, he's like, I don't understand. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Because it's just, you know, it was just over and I didn't have, there wasn't any kind of barrier to like me accessing those feelings. Like mm-hmm. I was there. The feelings were coming and going. And, you know, so it was just easier to kind of flow through all of the things that were happening and process all the things that were happening.
Well, and one of the things, one of the big offenders is Pitocin.
Yeah.
And I mean, epidurals are a big offender too. But again, this is not like, some of these interventions are just very necessary. They really are.
Totally. And, yeah, yeah.
You know, and you can't, like you said, like, no, you know, we're not knocking any of these things, but to know that this might be why things didn't go the way you wanted them to go in the beginning, if they didn't go the way you wanted them to go, it's kind of nice to know like that there is a reason.
Yeah. You're not dead inside.
Right.
You're like, you know, you're not like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just like, those things do affect other things. Cause I think you go in the hospital and it's like so normal and they don't tell you. They don't tell you like, oh, you're probably tired from, you know, this, or, you know, yeah, it takes a little while for that to wear off. And then for you to, they're not talking to you through any of this.
No.
They're just like, this is totally normal.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And a lot of times they'll say too, that, like the medication doesn't go to the baby and
oh God,
they'll say that all the time. And the medication absolutely goes to the baby. You get an epidural, it goes to the baby.
Yeah.
You get morphine or Stadol or whatever else they're giving out these days, it goes to the baby. And you can't, like, the baby gets that effect. It makes them sleepy. It makes them uncoordinated. It makes them not suck well. It affects them, which is going to in turn affect the breastfeeding.
Yeah.
It's not unusual at all. We see it every single day. But they do tell you that it's, you know, a lot of times they will say it's not going to affect you. And the Pitocin, what Pitocin is synthetic oxytocin. Oxytocin helps with like the natural oxytocin in your system, helps with uterine contractions and, you know, but it is also the love connected hormone. It's what bonds you together. And synthetic oxytocin or the Pitocin will actually block your natural oxytocin receptors. So you aren't feeling that connectedness necessarily that you think you're going to feel if you've had Pitocin. You know, you might not feel that, oh my gosh, my baby's here. You know, that might not be what you feel right away. And that's okay. But now they do the skin to skin right away and making sure that the baby is right on you, which helps to kind of, you know, boost all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it can really be a hindrance if Pitocin is something that you're getting, you know, like a lot of.
Yeah.
And then the epidurals are rough because that's a lot of medication. And if you're not sure what's in an epidural, fentanyl is in an epidural, and we know what fentanyl does. You know, we know that it's a pretty potent pain-killing medication. But all of that stuff goes to the baby. So when babies are born, they might be sleepier. If you have a C-section, you have all those medications mm-hmm. too, you know, like it just, you have to, obviously you're not going to have a C-section without medication. So this stuff is not like, oh my gosh, it's going to harm my baby. It's not like that, but it does affect them. It doesn't harm them. You're not going to have like an addict for a baby or anything like that. You know, like it's not going to do anything like that to your baby, but it is going to affect them. It can affect how sleepy they are. It can affect how they suck. It can affect how, you know, all of that stuff, which in turn can cause you to struggle a little bit with breastfeeding. That is not uncommon that people struggle with breastfeeding after a lot of these medicated deliveries.
Yeah.
It is just, it's hard. It makes it really hard. But then I feel like a lot of people don't connect those two, like you were saying in the beginning. It doesn't connect, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't connect, like providers and nurses and all that stuff don't connect it. And I know we've got nurses listening. So if this is something that you practice in your hospital, then I would love to know, because I think it's fantastic if you do. But the experience that I have always had with this is that it's not connected, and people don't realize that the medications and all that stuff actually do impact the breastfeeding. And then babies that aren't breastfeeding well, people just go, oh, they're just not breastfeeding well.
Yeah, right.
They're just not latching. Or your nipples are too flat, which, let me tell you, a lot of these medications come with a lot of fluid, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. When you have an epidural, they give you extra fluid because an epidural causes your blood pressure to drop. So they give you extra boluses of fluid, and, you know, you have to have like, I don't know, a bag or two of fluid before they even give the epidural, and they're giving you all this fluid.
They're pumping you full all kinds of liquid.
They do. And that causes your breast tissue to swell, mm-hmm. which can sometimes make your nipples go flat. So a lot of times, you know, they'll say, oh, your nipples are flat. I've had parents come in to me and be like, I've got a nipple shield because my nipples are flat, and their nipples are like not even flat. Because at that point, the fluid is kind of, by the time I see them, the fluid has gone down. But they were flat in the hospital. Or maybe they were a little bit flatter to start, nothing major, but then add all that fluid into the mix and they flatten up. Mm-hmm. And then babies don't latch well, or babies are just uncoordinated. They're not sucking well. So we have to try to get another, you know, intervention in there. We've got a nipple shield. We've got supplemental nursers. We've got, you know, all these other nursing interventions, formula, bottles.
They're just
interventions going.
Yeah. And it's just very normal to them. They're just like, oh, you know, they just don't want a nurse. So just use a little bit of formula. And then
they're too sleepy to nurse.
Yeah.
Too sleepy to nurse. And we got to get some food into them, or then they're going to start checking their blood sugars. So, and that is why people have started doing that antenatal colostrum collection, because they want to, you know, bring that colostrum. Because if the baby isn't nursing well, then they'll have colostrum that they can give to the baby. But a lot of times that's where you get the intervention of formula coming into play. And this is where, you know, it is, they've done a lot of studies on exclusive breastfeeding and lack thereof with babies that have been intervention babies during birth or birth trauma, because you get a lot more formula with those babies.
Mm-hmm. And which is because their breastfeeding is not going well.
No, they're breastfeeding is shit.
That's a misconception, right? We don't need to introduce formula.
No.
At this point, if the baby is having difficulty latching because your breast is swollen or because the baby is tired.
Right. No, you don't have to. But and we do have these other interventions. We can use a nipple shield. We can use pumps to, you know, to bring out the nipple, or to you know, act as a stimulator. We can show you how to hand express and get colostrum out and feed that to the baby instead. But nobody's got the time to do all those things.
Yeah.
Which is also, you know, a hindrance.
Which
and
is
sometimes
why,
parents yeah. are parents don't realize it either. That's the other thing. Parents don't realize it. And then they feel like, oh my, well, I got to feed my baby something. You know, you got to feed the baby something.
Well, and that's what they're hanging over you at the hospital. Like the baby needs to eat. Baby needs to eat. Baby needs to eat right now or you can't go home.
We got to start checking blood sugars, you know, all of that stuff. And you don't know as a new parent. It's scary. It is scary. And then you have situations like when you are in the hospital, that second night of the baby's life, when they're awake and they're alert and they're crying and they're fussy and they just want to be on you and nurse constantly. And people think, oh, the baby's starving.
Yeah.
When that is just a normal function of a newborn. And it's just normally what they do. They're bringing your milk in. They're connecting with you. They're being with you. They want to be on top of you every second. They're just realizing they're not in the womb anymore. And they're just like, what the hell is happening here? Overstimulated by the lights and the sounds and people poking at them all day long. And they just want to be on you nursing. That is where they're safe. And people go, they're starving and they just want to give them formula. Like there's so much stuff we don't know. And we always assume that formula is the answer when it's not necessarily the answer all the time.
Yeah. And this is why I'll talk about doulas all day. Like, please bring a doula with you to the hospital and have the plan. Have this plan before you even go in there. Like, if there's some sort of struggle, that they will talk to the hospital staff about a nipple shield, about, you know, any kind of intervention to help breastfeeding along.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Should we take a break and then we're going to talk more about, then we'll talk more about the breastfeeding piece of it.
All righty. We'll be right back.
Here from our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Peapod Mats, your ultimate solution for mess-free nights. Say goodbye to troublesome milk puddles or leaky diaper puddles or vomit puddles or any kind of puddle that ends up on your bed in the middle of the night. With the Peapod Mats 100% leak-proof and super absorbent mats. While originally designed for bedwetting and incontinence, Peapod Mats are an absolute game changer for breastfeeders. Now, cleaning your leaky mess is a breeze. Peapod Mats are reusable, up to 500 plus washes, and they are cheaper than buying those $10 or $20 plastic protectors you need to replace often. No more shifting or fussing around at night. Peapod mats stay in place without flaps, straps, Velcro, and no tucking or wrapping around the mattress. Peapod mats are breathable, so they adjust to the perfect temperature. Peapod mats are PFAS, PVC, phthalates, vinyl, and latex-free with a TPU water coating. TPU waterproof coating. That would be weird to coat it in water. TPU waterproof coating that is a greener solution for the environment. Peapod mats are hassle-free with no special washing instructions. Just pull it off your bed, toss it in with your regular wash, and you're good to go. The Peapod mats transition right into potty training and beyond. I always talk about how I still have ours. And I also did a little video like demonstrating and showing the Peapod mat. So if you go to the Badass Breastfeeder and check the posts, you'll see me talking. Use promo code BADASS for 15% off of your order at peapodmats.com. That's PEAPODMATS.com. And this code is valid through March 10th. So get on it because you want one and there's a discount code. So go for it. And today's episode is also brought to you by Booby Juice. Booby Juice freeze-dries your very own breast milk into shelf-stable powder that you can take on the go with their compact travel pouches or cost-effectively back up your entire stash with their at-home scoop-and-serve saver pouches. They are a cGMP-certified breast milk processing facility who also specializes in helping families on the move to safely transport and preserve all of mom's liquid gold breast milk. You can ship to Booby Juice using one of their shipping kits that has everything you need to safely ship them your frozen breast milk. Or you can schedule a local drop-off if you are near Tempe, Arizona. Booby Juice knows how committed breastfeeders are with providing the best nutrition for their baby. They now offer pumping moms a way to get their stash out of their freezer and put it to work. Booby Juice freeze-dries breast milk offer a convenient way to make bottles on the go, and with added benefit of fortifying baby's snacks and foods. You can sprinkle the powder right on the first foods and give it that nutritional boost. And beyond, like if you have leftover breast milk, then you can just make it last this way and use it with toddlers and small children. And it's pretty amazing that we are at this point where we are freeze-drying breast milk and making it last with all of its nutrients intact. Imagine that, incorporating all of your milk's macronutrition into every bite of baby's first foods. Check them out on Instagram at I Love Booby Juice and visit their website, boobyjuice.com. That's B-O-O-B-I-E, juice, J-U-I-C-E.com, and use code BADASS for 15% off of your first order of freeze-drying your breast milk. And all of our sponsors and their promo codes can be found in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. And they can also be found at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. And over there, you'll also find all of our other episodes and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
Yeah. So if your birth didn't go the way you wanted it to, that can really affect a lot of things. It can just really impact your breastfeeding relationship with your baby. And sometimes if your birth was deemed traumatic, which that is for a lot of people, and we don't want to say like nobody should gauge your trauma. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, does that make sense? Nobody should say to you, oh, your birth was fine. Because if you feel like your birth was traumatic to you, it was traumatic. So don't let anybody get that, you know, tell you that it was fine, your baby's fine, you're fine, it's not traumatic. Like, that drives me crazy when people say, oh, but you have a healthy baby, everything's fine.
Yeah, trauma is from your perspective. Like, it's not
exactly
your experience is either traumatic or not, or somewhere in between. It's not like other people can't decide that.
Right. Other people should not be deciding for you what happened to your birth at your birth and whether or not it was fine. But that is something that I've heard, I don't know, countless times throughout my career.
Well, yeah, she has a healthy baby.
You have a healthy baby. It's, you know, so what are you complaining about? It can be very traumatic to go through what happens during labor and delivery, especially if it's a situation where, you know, you go through this long labor, you end up with a C-section, like a lot of things can happen.
Yeah, the way you're treated.
That is one of the things that people, how people gauge how their birth went, was how they're treated in the hospital, whether or not they felt like they were heard and listened to. That has a major impact on how your birth goes, which is another reason why doulas.
Tone of people talking to me,
mm-hmm.
like one of the doctors just being like, "You're not pushing right." First of all, it was just a stupid thing to say to somebody. But, like, she was also, like, not being very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they're just not.
Like, can't you just be nice? Like, I'm also, like, feeling ashamed and embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And that I could have been having the most perfect labor. And when somebody's talking to you just, like, mean, while your legs are up in stirrups and your entire vagina's facing the room, like, come on.
I know. And it can really take its toll on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it can make breastfeeding a very difficult thing. And you would think, well, why would that impact breastfeeding? Well, it just does.
It does.
It can really impact how you connect with your baby. And it can just really impact how you feel. And I have seen that. I've seen parents be like, you know, I just wanted to, it was a lot. I felt I was wiped out. I couldn't do it anymore. I just, I couldn't, you know, I needed to sleep, which, yeah, that is a thing, right? We know everybody needs to sleep. But people saying, you know, things like, well, I just, you know, sent the baby to the nursery and had him give a bottle because I just needed to sleep. It was too much for me. Labor was really long. You know, everything that happened was a lot. I was on a lot of medications, and you just aren't connecting with your baby. Mm-hmm. And that can happen. And it's
absolutely
normal.
Like, I never thought about that. Because I, you know, when I had Jack in the hospital, I was so extremely exhausted. But then at home, when all of that, like, you know, the natural hormones and all that stuff where I had access to those, I wasn't tired after I gave mm-hmm. birth. You know, it was like, I just didn't have all the extra stuff in me. So, I mean, I'm not saying like, oh, I'm so great because I had an awesome birth. I'm just saying I had both of the extreme experiences. So, like, I'm able to compare.
Yeah, that's cool.
Compare and contrast. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is where, this is, you know, I can see the difference. And I went through right. both. So, like, I'm not better than anybody. I'm not, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just comparing.
It's, I mean, just pregnancy alone, right? Like, and one of the other things that I'm mm-hmm. thinking of is we see a lot of parents now with blood pressure issues. And sometimes those blood pressure issues will spike and you end up being induced, going, you know, having your baby on lots of medication, sometimes throughout labor. You're on magnesium sometimes throughout labor, which can really wear you down. Your baby's born. They need to go to, sometimes they have to go to special care if there's too much mag with them. And it's just like a lot. You're just out of it. You know, blood pressure issues can really take its toll, but sometimes those blood pressure issues will spike after the baby's born. And I've had patients that have been like readmitted, like they go home.
Oh no.
Their blood pressure spikes after they've been discharged. Their baby's like 2 or 3 days old and they have to go back to the hospital and be readmitted again without their baby.
Oh my God. Oh.
For like a day or two.
That's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I see that's something I see all the time. I had a patient just this week that had happened to her and had a lot of, you know, a lot of issues with breastfeeding. And it's just, it's becomes very, very complicated. And that's just like, nobody can help that. That's just pregnancy, right? That's just how your body's responding to pregnancy and all the, and everything that's going on. You can't be responsible for that, but we just internalize that. You know, and it becomes like this huge problem, and that becomes a problem with breastfeeding.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, there's so much to unpack with it. So much. But when you do have those interventions, so I know that I kind of mentioned too that, like, okay, the epidurals and medications can cause, you know, babies to be tired and can cause them to have like suck dysfunction, suck reflex, like lack of suck reflex. That's true. But sometimes we have situations where they're just born in like using forceps or vacuum or C-section. C-section deliveries are rough. And babies can, like, those can be really rough. And then you got to consider, like, why is the baby, if the baby's not in a good position, like, and not in an optimal position, like their posterior, their breech, you know, something like that, that would cause you to have a C-section delivery or cause you to have like a longer labor or problems with the, you know, problems being able to push the baby out. Those posterior babies, man, that's hard.
Oh, that was what Jack was too.
Jack was posterior.
Yes. It was awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything about
that birth. And posterior is where the baby is. Everything about the birth. Oh, my God.
Except for Jack. He's great. But his birth was terrible. And as soon as he was born, he shit all over the nurse.
Oh, did he really?
Just like a bunch of poop right on her.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
I was like, wow, you just like, this is like, it's never ending.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
It is, so posterior, when we say a baby's posterior, they're facing the other direction. So instead of their head being like, how do I want to say it?
So
their head is up back against your tailbone.
Yeah. When a baby is born, they're supposed to have the front of their face, their nose and their mouth come out crossing across your anus. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to pick up all that bacteria.
And they're supposed to, yeah.
They are supposed to. And that's how they start their immune system, by being exposed to that. And then, but the, yeah, like a posterior baby is flipped the other way. So across the back, like the tailbone is the back of their head, their skull.
And that's painful.
Oh boy, that hurts.
It's really painful. And it takes longer.
Yeah.
Too. Because they're not in the, in an optimal position. So it takes them longer to come down and to get out. And it's, they can be born like that. Sometimes they turn, you know, sometimes they'll turn. They might start out posterior and then they'll turn like during labor and stuff like that. But again, doulas can really help with that kind of stuff. If your baby's not in a good position, they can help you get into positions to help the baby get into the right position. But all of that stuff can lead to a baby not breastfeeding well. And when babies are, you know, if they're not in optimal position, they might have some muscle tension, some neck tension, some asymmetry that can affect their suck reflex, can make them chompy. It can really just cause, it can cause you pain. There's a lot of things that can go on with babies at, right after delivery, that can impact your breastfeeding relationship with them. And we never hear about this stuff. Like, you just, you never hear about it. You never hear about it. Nobody ever talks about it. And that's, I feel like that's a little unfair, you know, because parents should know these things can happen. And it's not, no one's saying, like, I have a whole presentation that I have done a zillion times for, I don't know, just like all different groups and stuff like that about epidurals. And I did my my master's thesis on how epidurals impact breastfeeding initiation and duration.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I did my whole master's thesis on that. And there's a ton of research on it. And the whole, whenever I would do it, like I can remember I was doing it at something, or no, I was talking about it to somebody one time, a doctor at like a conference or something. And she was like, well, do you tell people not to get epidural? It's like, no, I don't tell, like, that is not the point of the presentation.
Right.
The point of the presentation is to inform people, especially nurses and doctors and people that are working with these patients, because then they can say, oh, you know what? You had an epidural? Yeah, that's, that might impact your baby for a little bit, but that's okay. We're just going to do a lot of skin to skin. We're going to head and express some colostrum. That might be why your baby's not nursing well. It has nothing to do with you. Because I've actually had people say, in when I was in the hospital, when I worked in the hospital, well, the baby just didn't want to nurse. Baby doesn't like it. Baby doesn't like nursing. Baby doesn't want to nurse. And that makes you feel so rejected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But when you know that it's just a normal reaction to something that happened during delivery, like that's a whole, that's a game changer if you know that that's all it was. Mm-hmm. But nobody's saying don't, you know, go into labor and don't get an epidural. Nobody's saying that to you. We're just saying be informed. That's all. Just be informed. Just like any other thing that you do in the medical world, you want to, like, people go into like medical issues wanting to have, you know, second opinions and all the information, and we're Googling stuff and we all want to know everything that can happen if I have this procedure, this medical procedure. But somebody says, oh, you're going into labor, you get it. Oh, sign me up for that epidural right away.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Nobody wants to have any kind of information about it. They just, nobody gets any kind of information about it. They just, and really, like, at the time, you're not in the mood to get information about it.
That's so true.
Like, who wants to like stop and go, oh, well, let me read up on it for a minute.
Well, yeah. And I, when I went into Jack's terrible labor in the hospital, my plan was to not have an epidural.
Oh, so was
But mine, that was because I was scared of the needle. And we had a birth class and the lady was like, I'm not going to show you the needle because it's really like scary. And I was like, ew, if she can't even show us the needle, then I don't want it. I'm not going to do it. I read some book about natural labor and then I was like, okay, I'm good. It's fine. Well, I went in and I was induced twice because he didn't want to come out and he wasn't ready. And then I have all of that. I mean, at some point I was just like, oh my God, give me the epidural. Where's the guy? Bring the guy with the needle. Come on, please. It's like,
yeah,
you don't, it's like, you just,
You just,
I didn't care.
It becomes too much. It becomes too much sometimes, especially because, when it's long.
Well, and this is like the thing about interventions, which I think we have maybe said, that interventions lead to interventions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have one, I mean, they start to pile on each other. Because then you're dealing with the, because, you know, I was induced and it didn't work. So like, whatever, 10 hours later, she gave me another thing. And then it was extremely like hard contractions suddenly. And then I was like, oh my God, I have to have that. Well, I decided, I was like, I'm not going to have that epidural. I'll just have the Stadol. Which, yeah. I didn't take the pain away. I just couldn't scream as much about it.
Right.
And then I was having hallucinations and all this stuff. It's terrible.
Yeah. And then, that's what I had too.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, give me the fucking epidural. But then if you have an epidural, you have to have Pitocin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's all going to just, it all piles up on each other.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, whatever. The point is that at some point, sometimes you just, it's okay to want an epidural. I mean, you just have to know.
Yeah, you just have to know. That's all.
You just have the information.
It doesn't hurt to know. That's really important. So if you had a birth that you feel like wasn't the best experience and you struggled with breastfeeding, it's not your fault. It's totally okay. It happens. And it can affect your breastfeeding relationship. It really can. But knowing that, I think, I'm hoping, is helpful to know that, you know, sometimes those things that just, it doesn't go as smoothly and it can just make things really hard. It really can. And I've had a lot of people say, oh God, this is harder than actually having the baby. And yeah. It can be when things have kind of gotten in the way of that good natural start. So
if you're dealing with that, if you're pregnant, now you know. And if you're just had your baby and there's some struggling going on, then you can reach out to a lactation consultant and they can help.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so good luck.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.